The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the fifth chapter. Glory
Glory
to
to you, O Lord.
you. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. Those who were fishing had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For Simon and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may continue to be seated. Good morning. So glad to see so many faces here. I've been scrolling through just so that I get a sense of who is with me today. Lots of people, lots of faces. Thank you for joining. And I hope that you're all well and that you're warm today, wherever you are. And now let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One day, as Jesus was teaching the crowds by the lake, folks started to encroach on his personal space a little bit too much. And so he looked around and he saw an empty boat. And he got into that boat. And then he asked Simon, the fisherman who owned it, to push out a little way from the shore. And there, from that boat, Jesus could teach the crowds in peace. And when he was done teaching, Jesus asked Simon to put out into the deep water and let down your nets. And of course, as you have just heard, once they were in the deep waters, they put down the nets, and the nets were so full of fish that they were breaking. And so they had to call the other boat in. And the other boat came with James and John, sons of Zebedee, and their nets also were filled. Both boats were so full of fish, and Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching or fishing for people." I am sure that most of you here have heard this story many times, the story of the calling of the first disciples. And there are so many things that we could glean from this. But right now, at this moment in time, what I've been struck with are these two contexts, a little way from shore and in the deep waters? These are the two places that things happen in this scripture text. Now, many of the scenes from the life of Jesus take place in or around or on water, right? And that makes sense to me because actually every human story begins with water, namely the waters of the womb. We all begin in water. And also, it's true that every Christian story involves at some point water. Whether we're 6 weeks old or 6 years old or 60 years old, at some point we come to the water and we are baptized. We come to the waters and are welcomed into the one global body of Christ. And we come to the waters, and there we hear our name, our true name, which is Beloved Child of God. We come to the waters, and in baptism, we are charged with, by the community, charged by the community with carrying on some shared commitments, things that we all share from Christians in all times and places, namely giving thanks and praise to God and sharing God's redeeming love with all the world. And so all of our stories begin where this story begins, at the water. So we can imagine ourselves standing with those crowds at the shores of Lake Gennesaret, eager to see Jesus, eager to hear what Jesus has to say, eager for a word of hope. But our stories don't end there. Our discipleship stories don't end at the shore because Jesus sometimes calls us into the boat and into the deep waters with him. Often that invitation means venturing away from the shallow waters where we might be more comfortable and towards something that seems impossible or ridiculous or maybe even pointless, like fishing in the exact same place that you've been fishing all night long and you know there are no fish there, which is exactly what Simon said to Jesus. And still, Jesus calls. But rowing into deep waters can be scary. I was thinking about how when I was a college student, I had a scholarship. It was offered by the United Ministry at Oklahoma State University. And that was a joint ministry of Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and United Church of Christ. We had a building, actually, United Ministry had a building that was smack dab in the middle of all the sorority houses and fraternity houses. So it was really a cool place to be. And I was the Peace and Justice Ministry intern. And I had no interest in being a pastor at that time. I was going to be a concert pianist. And I was not ever going to work in the church, even though my mom was a church secretary and, I was always at church. But no, I was not going to do that. This was just a gig to pay my tuition. In any case, the chaplain there at the ministry, Pastor Bob, he had me all figured out. And he loved to push my buttons, especially when it came to the theologies that I had inherited from childhood. I was at a particular, very black and white, earnest, because the Bible tells us so. Stage of my spiritual development at that moment. And so one day, Pastor Bob said to me, "Carrie, did you know that Mary Magdalene was the first apostle?" And I said, "Wait a minute, no one ever told me that. I mean, as far as I knew, there were 12 disciples and they were all men. And maybe one of them wasn't very nice, but they were still all men because the Bible said so." And so Chaplain Bob gave me a book to read, and then another one, and then another one. And he kept me in conversation. And he helped me to be courageous enough to wade into those deep waters, the waters of reconsidering inherited theologies and of challenging patriarchy and exploring my own faith. And it was scary. It was scary, but it literally changed the course of my life. Because time spent in those deep waters with a trusted pastor helped me years later to discern a call to ordained ministry. Put out into the deep waters, Jesus said, and let down your nets. Sometimes Jesus calls us into the deep waters, into deep theological and inner conversion. And sometimes Jesus calls us into the deep waters for action. Let down your nets, he said to Simon. And Simon, as we already mentioned, was tired. He said, "Jesus, we've already been fishing all night long. We know these waters. There are no fish there. Forget it. But okay, if you say so, we'll do it again, one more time." It seems to me that in this moment in time, we who are followers of Jesus are being called again away from the shores of safety and familiarity and into some really deep waters. Like Simon, James, and John, and the sons of Zebedee, Jesus, it seems, is calling us, both individually and as a church, to a deeper understanding of the gospel and an even deeper commitment to living it. I think with each passing day and every time I look at the news, I am more convinced that if there was ever a time to start rowing, this is it. If there was ever a time to act, to let down our nets, this is it in our lifetimes. You know, for many years now, we've heard people talk about a so-called war on religion, and specifically a war on Christianity in this country. But what I really think that means is that people have felt threatened or persecuted if they are having to show respect for those who don't share our faith, or don't share our holidays, or don't share our traditions. I'm not sure that I call that a war. But at this moment in time, when elected leaders and others given seats in the halls of power are attacking bishops for preaching the essentials of our faith, or when they're blatantly calling the work of the Lutheran social service organizations criminal enterprises, I feel like we have unwittingly been called into battle. Side note, someone in Iowa is selling t-shirts to benefit Lutheran Social Services of Iowa that say, "Just another member of the Lutheran Crime Syndicate, a diabolical group strengthening communities." Brilliant. I want to go buy one just to support them and support Lutheran Social Services. This moment may feel scary. And these waters are indeed deep. And we are already weary, weary of the last weeks, weary of the last years. Like Simon, we may be thinking, Jesus, we've already been fishing in these waters. Our nets have come up empty. What else can we do? But the truth is, what we know is that Christian discipleship is never for the faint of heart. There's always a war going on somewhere. There's always a war going on, but it's not the one that we are being sold. We're not in battle to preserve the patriarchy or law and order or empire or for the good old days where whenever those were. In fact, in baptism, we are called into the good fight for a world defined by mercy and forgiveness. And welcome for the stranger, and justice, and shared abundance, and yes, diversity, equity, and inclusion. DEI. Someone pointed out recently that DEI, Dei, is literally the name for God in Latin. So take that for what you will. There's been a lot of talk in some of my Christian circles about this being a Bonhoeffer moment, and I have said before, I appreciate that Dietrich Bonhoeffer's name has been now brought into the conversation. People that never knew about him, this wonderful Lutheran theologian and pastor, I'm glad that they know about him. However, I am reminded that Bonhoeffer's bold and radical theology and actions did not come out of nowhere, and they didn't come just from him. It came out of his deep study of scripture and from his years of faithfully wading into the deep waters with Jesus before he ever was called to act. Jesus called him to respond to the terrible acts of Hitler against the Jewish people and others. In his seminal work, The Cost of Discipleship, Bonhoeffer wrote, "Discipleship is not an offer that one makes to Christ. Discipleship is not an offer that one makes to Christ." In other words, we would do well to remember that Simon, James, and John didn't think about going back out into those deep waters on their own. Simon didn't want to let down his nets. Certainly, the three of them did not think that abandoning their boats and following Jesus was a good business opportunity. No, Jesus offered it. Jesus offered this opportunity, and they accepted, just as Bonhoeffer in faith accepted when he needed to. All this talk today of rowing and fishing and acting and answering the call might feel like a bit too much, especially since most of us have pajama pants on and we're sitting in the snow. It might feel like a lot. Maybe you're tired. I certainly am. Maybe life and the world have made you a bit cynical. Maybe you and Jesus are not really on good speaking terms right now. And still, today I encourage you to return to the waters. Return to the water. Remember your baptism. Remember who you are and what you know of God and God's love for you and for the world. Remember all that we know about Jesus. Remember what we have heard, that Jesus will be with us always to the end of the age. Remember that Jesus has come that we may have life and life abundant. Remember the multiplying loaves and the full wine jars and the nets bursting with fish. Remember all the saints, Bonhoeffer and others, who have traversed the deep waters with us. And then, when you are confident in who you are and who we are as a church, then let down your nets just one more time. Let down your nets. Call or write to your elected officials one more time. Pray one more time. Bless your enemies one more time. Speak truth to power one more time. Forgive and vote and break bread with a stranger at least one more time. This is what it looks like when Christian disciples enter battle. This is what it looks like when Christian disciples take up the cross. We are in a fight, but a fight not against powers and principalities, but for the power of God's love, for God's love for all the people. And when you're tired and cold and weary, know that the crucified and risen Jesus is in the boat with us. Jesus is always with us in the deep end. And despite what you may have heard, there is enough for all. There is enough for all. In faith and hope, I encourage this church and you individually to let down your nets and be ready for abundant love and abundant peace and abundant joy, the abundance that God desires for every single one of us. For I have come that you may have life and life abundant, says Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.